do wish you a Merry Christmas. It's a wonderful time of year. I don't know what you're looking forward to. Maybe there's a special gift. Probably more than that, there's a special face, somebody that you haven't seen for a while who's going to be at your home. Maybe special food or any number of unique things that happen at this time of year that here, you know, 10 days earlier, we can look forward to those unique moments. I want to share with you a story this morning. I was going to read it, but I think I'm just going to tell it. I think it'll be quicker that way. Family has had their Christmas dinner. They're just sitting around and doing what families do, talking and interacting, and people are trying to stay awake and just kind of bear, you know, just hanging in there all together. And one of the little kids comes in, a kid of about 5 years old, and he's gotten a basketball for Christmas, not a leather basketball, but one of those really thin skinned basketballs where you can dribble and they bounce, almost a balloon type ball. And he comes dribbling into the room, and of course you expect for all the people to start saying, no, not in here, get the basketball out of here. But before anybody can say that, Grandpa turns around and goes, and everybody just freezes. The little boy tosses the ball to Grandpa, and Grandpa tosses it back to him. And a couple of other grandkids get up there, and they say, you know, the catch game starts to take off. Eventually, everybody at the table throws and catches this little ball. And the reason that they let it go on for so long is because Grandpa has Alzheimer's. And he hasn't interacted with anybody verbally in a very long time, at least 5 years. One of the ladies who talks about this story, who writes about this story, writes about the fact that her child, who was about 7 at the time, that was their one and only interaction with their grandfather. The grandpa would pass away not long after that. People were just kind of stunned, you know, what happened? And it's kind of one of those unique moments that jump out at us. One of those things that happen when families get together and take some time to be together and just allow some positive things to happen. Some people call those things Christmas miracles. While I don't know if I would call that a miracle or not, something, it certainly was something that was very special. It was very unique, and it was something that people in their families, that family, would like to see happen again and again. I read a quote that said, there are no special days, there are special moments. And that really is true. We think back to a certain day and say, oh, that was a great day. But typically it's because something unique happened in a special way. We can pray about those kinds of things. We can hope that we'll be the recipient of such. But are there things we can actually do to precipitate those kinds of events or the opportunities for those kind of things to take place? I can tell you what you can't do. You can't force it. You can't say, this is my goal. I've told you before about the elderly lady at the church at Guthrie. Her kids used to come home for Christmas. And about this time, about 10 days away from Christmas, she'd come and say, give me a list of scriptures. Why? Well, I want to start stabbing them with scripture the minute they walk in the door. You know, I want to throw all those scriptures out there. And I just want to, and my advice always would be, why don't you back off just a little bit? Why don't you have some interaction? There may be some opportunities. No, you've got to do that. 3 or 4 years later, I said, you don't look for scriptures anymore. And she said, they don't come anymore. That's the reality of it. And she wouldn't back away. She wouldn't let things happen. And so it kind of put an end to the entire thing. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27 says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? And today, if you're thinking about special moment and how you might like to contribute to that special moment, let me suggest just two things. Two things that could be helpful and beneficial and that might help in creating those special kinds of moments. The first one is traditions. What are your Christmas traditions? Maybe you gather around the good table. I see so many pictures of people dressed up for Christmas. And frequently folks say, I'm glad we don't dress up at our house. But some of you may dress up, put on very nice clothes. That's the tradition. All kinds of things become a tradition. My mom, when I was in college, decided that as a Christmas tradition, we as a family were going to go to a Christmas cantata at midnight on Christmas Eve as a large Presbyterian church in the central part of Oklahoma City. And so because it was mom, she would drag us all down there. Nobody liked going. Nobody really enjoyed going. It wasn't all that much fun, but we went. We moved off to Houston. It was probably several years later, and we came back, and we didn't always come for Christmas, but this particular Christmas we came back, and Mom said she had something to do. What do you have to do on Christmas Eve at 11 o'clock? But she had something to do, and she would meet us at this cantata. We go in, sit down, and I keep asking my dad, where's Mom? He said, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. The thing starts, and my mother comes down the aisle carrying a banner and singing. She's gotten into the show. She's now a participant in this thing, you know, and she's showing off by being a part of this cantata. It was a really interesting kind of thing, and only at that moment did it dawn on me how important this really was to her. You know, it was one thing to try to drag your family to it. It's another thing to actually try to get into it so that your family can to participate in that. I remember growing up playing in the Corn Bowl. My family is just... In fact, my dad's the only male in the family who was not a football coach. And so the McElroy family would play a football game either on Thanksgiving afternoon or Christmas afternoon. And my grandfather had started out as a high school coach and become a superintendent of schools. And he was lived right next door to the football field. And so the game would start and people around town, the word would get out. And it's just a little bitty town here in Oklahoma. People would come over and play this crazy football game. It was just kind of a family tradition that started and was a little bit useful. Maybe you have a favorite poem that you read at Christmas time. I know from talking to you that there are a number of you have a favorite movie that you watch as a family. Sometimes in all kinds of interesting kind of ways. Sometimes we share. There are things that we share with other families or things we share with individual people. Maybe you like to go caroling in your neighborhood. And this is kind of tied to the next thing. How do you get these family traditions started? Well, the way you do it is you don't try to convince everybody to be a part of it as much as you just do it yourself. For a number of years, I was involved with a Christmas party at a youth shelter. And if you went in and went to the kids and said, come on in, we're going to have a great Christmas party, you know, the defenses would go up and the reaction became very negative, and it was hard to break down some of those walls. And so finally we figured out that the best thing to do was just go in and start and let them join us if they wanted to. And after we started taking that approach, there was never a year that, let's see if I can put this correctly, every year, every child eventually came and participated. Not because they had to, but because they saw it and got drawn in just a little bit. If you're looking for a way to get a tradition started, maybe one other person in your family wants to do that tradition. Just go ahead and begin. Well, it'd be better if everybody did it. Yeah, it would. And maybe ultimately everybody will, but it doesn't always work out that way. I read of a guy who offers to his family a Christmas concert on Christmas Eve about 5 o'clock every year. And he puts together music, and anybody who wants to come and sit with him and listen to this music, that's something that he's willing and able and wants to do. If you look at Joshua chapter 4, we find and see the power of tradition, and probably one of the strongest traditional elements that you can find anywhere. It's about the time when Joshua is leading the Israelites into the Promised Land, and when the Ark of the Covenant reaches the Jordan River and the river stops. One of the things that they did is each tribe took one rock out of the riverbed and carried it to the other side and piled them up to make a memorial of what had taken place. And in Joshua chapter 4, starting in the middle part of verse 6, it says, "In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." Mom and Dad, why are all these stones piled up? Well, let me tell you the story about how God's people came into this land. There are many traditions that probably, until you start to think about it, you really don't even realize that your family does, or maybe even as an individual you do. But there's all kinds of opportunities to create some pretty special moments when we create those good traditions. The second thing that I'll share with you is time. There's no substitute for available time. I've mentioned to you before my Aunt Beanie, and Aunt Beanie was one of these people that all you had to do was know that if you were with her, you were going to have some of her time. She would make a point to spend some private time with each person who was there. No matter if you were the youngest or the oldest, that was just her thing. That was what she did. About 25 or 30 years ago, this great myth developed about a thing called quality time. You can have quality time, and you could like schedule an hour and make it a really important hour. And I don't want to say that if you're used having time, make it the best quality you possibly can when you're interacting with family or friends or people that you care about. But we have learned that you can't necessarily just say, "Oh, we're going to have a heart-to-heart talk at 10 o'clock on Friday night." It doesn't work that way. We create situations where those kinds of things can begin to develop. It was the first Christmas after my dad had passed away. About 2 o'clock in the morning, my brother and sister and I found ourselves sitting in the living room talking, telling dad stories, basically. And I told the story about when I was 16 years old, we went to get my driver's license. We went into the place, I think it was over on Northeast 23rd at the time, something like that. I go in, I'm all nervous, it's just my driver's test, a big deal. The examiner comes, and we go out to the car, come right back in, and Dad says, "What's the matter?" I said, "Well, the horn won't work on the car." "Why, that's no reason why you can't take a driver's test." My dad happened to know the director of the Department of Public Safety. So he went over, picked up the phone, and called the guy. And he turned around to the examiner and said, "Your boss wants to talk to you." The guy, the head of DPS said, "I want you to take the kid." Well, I knew right away I had failed. Nobody was going to pass in that situation. So I was telling my siblings about this, and my sister said, "The same thing happened to me, except it was like a left turn signal." And my brother said, "Well, that explains it." And we were like, "Why? What's going on?" He said, "I've never taken a driver's test." He said, "The day I was 16, Dad and I went in. I went over and told them who I was, and they said, 'We want to see you back here.' I went into the office, and they handed me all the credentials that I would need to get a driver's license so that they wouldn't have to do that with me." And then we started telling other stories, better stories, that really gave us insight into more of who our Father was. You can't make those things happen. You have to just kind of create the place where, if possible, it starts to move in that direction. We think of Mary and Martha. Martha, sometimes you have to let the details slip just a little bit in order to create the kind of situation that you really want to create. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Colossians is very similar. Colossians 4, 5 says, "Be wise in the way you act toward those who are outside the Christian faith." Anybody in your family group a non-Christian? Make the most of your opportunities. I've told this story before. You may have it memorized by now, but it just makes such a good point that I can't pass it. It just fits so well. Little kid is in about he's in kindergarten, and he had drawn a picture. And he goes to his kindergarten teacher, and he says, "Teacher, how do you spell?" And she says, "Johnny, I don't have time to tell every kid in this room how to spell. If I start doing that, I wouldn't have time to teach. You'll have to get somebody else to do that." He takes his picture home, takes it to his mom, and says, "Mom, how do you spell?" And she says, "I'm trying to get dinner ready. I got a million things to do. Go ask your father." He goes in and asks Dad, "Dad, how do you spell?" And the dad says, "I'm just going to, it's been a long, hard day. I just want to watch just a little bit of television. Just leave me alone." And a few days later, he finds in the trash his picture. And he says to himself, "I'm not going to do that." And about 20 years later, a little blue-eyed, blonde-haired girl crawls into his lap and says, "Daddy, how do you spell love?" And he says, T-I-M-E. And it really boils down to that at many points in time. There are a lot of things that are happening in our world that take away our time together. Being defensive of our time, the validity and the lack of time, certainly something that we have to guard so very carefully. I think one of the best ways to try to create a special time is to have that gratitude mindset. God, I'm grateful for what I'm experiencing. I'm grateful for what you've given me. I thank you so very much. And when we allow God to take over, when we seek a moment that says, "Lord, I'd just like to do something very special for you." My siblings and I talked about our dad one night. About 2 years ago, my wife's brother and his wife were here. And they stayed up into the night talking. And finally, her brother went to bed. And her sister-in-law, after he went to bed, said, "Terry, I need to talk to you about baptism." And she had questions. And she wanted to study. And in the middle of the night, that's what happened. And she was baptized the next day. Now, when we look at things, we say, what's most important? Is having a perfect house? Or is having a perfect Christmas? Or is having a perfect gift? Or have this or that or whatever? If we have opportunities to connect with somebody in a deeply spiritual way, that's what we want to do. Because we know that God can do anything. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. "What is impossible with man is possible with God." In conclusion this morning, it does concern me about how the holidays seem to be shrinking. It looks like we've already lost, we're pretty close to losing Thanksgiving. Is it Black Friday? Is that what it is? Everybody goes shopping, but it's not Friday anymore. It's 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, and it'll just probably be earlier and earlier and earlier. A few years ago, I had a guy call me one morning about 7 o'clock. He was the son-in-law of one of the ladies at church, and she had been rather ill. He called and said that she had passed away during the night. His family had been trying to get him to come, and he kept saying that he would. He was a very important guy, and in actuality, his mother-in-law passed away before he even started his journey, but he was now here in central Oklahoma, and he said, "She passed away. Would you do the service?" And I said, "Well, when are you going to do it?" He said, "Noon." "Today?" I said, "Yeah." He says, I need to be home." I said, "Well, what about your children and why you're at your grandchildren? And what about people from the church? And what about really paying homage and celebrating the memory of this person?" He said, "I have things I have to do." "Is everybody in your family on board with this?" And he said, "I'm paying for it. We're having it at noon today." "What's the funeral director think?" And he said, "Well, I haven't talked to him." I said, "Why don't you talk to him first?" So funeral director and I talked for a few minutes before he talked to him. And the guy says, "We can't do it. We can't do it at noon today." And his reaction was, "Okay, I'll find somebody who can." And he did. He was so angry that he said, "This is a private service only. Only family is invited. We don't want anybody from church or community to come at all." He did the service himself. It just stood out in my mind and always has stood out in my mind as this moment when this guy could have been concerned about the needs of all these people. There were people who were hurting. There were people who had special things that needed to be addressed. But the only way he could approach this was from his own personal place. And he was determined that everything be done the way he wanted it to be done. And as we gather with people in the next couple of weeks, we can be shifted in that direction easily. You know, what do I want? How long do I want this to take? What do I want to get into? And what do I want to stay away from? And we really began to shape things or begin to shape things the way we want it to be. And other people have different needs and different circumstances. And when we get so one-tracked, we do pretty much rule out the possibility for those special, unique moments that God can work and create some really special experiences that have some amazing conclusions. This morning, we extended an invitation. If there's anything in your life that keeps you away from God, if there's a lack of commitment to your Christian faith, or if your faith hasn't gotten to the place where it's really begun, there are all kinds of things that we'd be willing to do to assist you, if you'd let us know what that is during this song together.